This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And on the line, we have another favorite geek of ours, Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV. You there, Wes?
Absolutely. Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing, Eric? Dennis, how we doing?
Good, good. And you're on live on the video here, too.
Oh, whoa. Good.
Yes, we managed to not get storms this weekend here in Florida, which is one of the, you know, one day out of 365.
Well, we're glad. We're glad to see you. I had the pleasure of being on a webinar with Wes on Thursday. We talked about some cybersecurity for small business, and it was fun. It was a rapid-fire question and answer. Holy moly.
It sure was. It was fun. I learned a lot from you, too, so I really appreciate you being on. I had a lot of fun in that.
Yeah, it was definitely a great experience. So we have Wes on talking today about backup.
And oh, yeah.
Backup is something that we've talked about since this show began. It's the one thing in the old days that you really had to worry about was losing your data due to failure. Mechanical failure back in the early 90s was really the way you lost your data, whether it be a hard drive failure or maybe a controller failure. So backing it up. Now it's ransomware, viruses, and all sorts of things that can take out your data.
Absolutely. Landscape's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, right. It's completely changed. And Wes, you know, from IT Pro TV, you're here to talk about all the different flavors of backup. You want to give us some of the generalities of approaching a backup?
Oh, most definitely. Kind of like we were joking around the other day, you know, I kind of made mention of, hey, we're chasing the archive bit, but I've actually kind of changed that because we don't always care what the archive bit's doing. So how about we just say, what's up with the archive bit? And that's essentially just a little small little digital, you know, bit on every file that's either been newly created or modified since the last time your backup subsystem ran. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You know, we've got three major types, you know, that are kind of agreed on, and that's the full backup, the differential backup, and then commonly the last one's the incremental backup. Mm-hmm. Each have their own place. I'm not sure exactly how popular some of them are, but the full backup, it's one of the ones that's the most secure when it comes to restoring your information, because it makes a complete copy every time that operation's run of every single file. And, you know, getting back to that archive bit, a full backup doesn't really care about what's happening with the archive bit. Again, that only shows up on files that are new or have been modified since the last backup ran. Mm-hmm. But it's also very bandwidth intensive, right? I mean, in a perfect world, we would love to just say, hey, run a full backup all the time.
Right.
That can translate to a lot of storage and a, you know, large data set. So that's your full backup. Mm-hmm. You know, then you have your differential backup, and your differential backup is a backup that backs up information And it does kind of look to the last full backup that's run. And so let's say it runs on Monday. It's going to look back to the last full backup that's run. And that's probably a good thing to just say here real quick, too, is that all backups have to have at least a full backup, or you only have a partial data set. So the differential will continually grow. So if I back up information on Monday, Tuesday we come in, it's going to back up Tuesdays, but it's also going to look back at Mondays, and it's going to back up. So you can see that the differential, while it doesn't back up the entire data set, it will continue to grow as you, let's say, go towards the weekend, Friday, if you will. And then the last one is the incremental backup. And the incremental backup is a backup type that backs up all data since the last full backup or the last incremental backup. And the way that kind of runs is if the backup runs on Monday, it backs up all of the data that has changed essentially since the last full backup, backs that information up, and that becomes its own unique copy set, if you will, because then the next time it runs on Tuesday, it's not going to, unlike the differential, it's not going to worry about Monday. It's only going to back up those files and, that are new or have changed on Tuesday. So you get these individual copy sets.
Right.
And it's beneficial as well because you have smaller backup sets that can run faster and are not as network intensive. But the restoration side of that is where you kind of pay for that, that pay for play, if you will, you know,
yeah.
Because if it's good, it's definitely going to have a con. And that's because the restoration requires every individual incremental or unique copy set since the last full backups run. You're going to need Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Let's say if the failure's on Thursday, you're going to need all of those backup sets. So that's kind of the, you know, that's kind of the gist between all three of them. You know, there are other types that they talk about, but snapshots and stuff, but then you get into gray areas, you know, as to what they are.
Right.
I'd be interested with you guys to see, like, what's the common ones you see?
The common ones that we see would be an image-based backup that, you know, we have a full backup that happens for our customers, and then we will then take incrementals every hour that are rolled up into a daily. And then those dailies get rolled up into weeklies. The weeklies get rolled up into monthlies. And the monthlies, well, that's about as far as you're really going to go.
Yeah, monthlies.
And
sure.
you're able to do that restoration at any point in time between if you get hit with ransomware an hour before, we can get you back up and running to the way you looked before that occurred because we had that hourly constant backup that's occurring for our customers to protect them from that type of thing. So that's been our approach. We come across so many potential clients out there that we pick up and they didn't even realize they weren't being backed up.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Or they're just file level backups. You know, file level backups don't get you the image of the entire system. So you have your data. Hey, that's great. But it's still going to take a week to put you back together because your operating system is toast and you're going to reload the operating system, reconfigure all your users because you backed up was the data.
And install your programs.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there's millions of bits of work before you even get to restoring the data that you saved.
Yeah. And we like a local and an offsite component whereby you can do a restoration much faster locally. So many folks, you know, rely on just that offsite backup and they don't realize that if you have – let's say even a small law firm and you've done a restore off of an offsite backup, it could take a week for that data to come down.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. And usually those types of data, if they are offsite, might even be in tape archive that are very, very slow to get access to.
Right.
You know, you mentioned something that is another concept that I like how you say, we take the hourlies, they wrap them up into the dailies, we take dailies and wrap them up to weeklies, and then finally the month. I mean, that's an old tape rotation method called grandfather, father, son,
mm-hmm.
The GFS tape rotation method, unlike the one that they call Tower of Hanoi that's got way too much complexities and probably way too expensive. So it's good to hear some of those things too, like for instance that we teach about and hear that you guys are implementing them too. One thing that I like that you mentioned the other day in the webinar is that the necessity to test backups. Here's the whole thing. We're talking about backups and hey, that's good to have them implemented in place and a schedule to, follow. But boy, you don't want to have to restore with a backup set that's corrupt or maybe not complete.
And so the thing about that's insidious even about the testing, though, is that so today you've got your soup and it's configured based on whatever the recipe is by Microsoft's update service packs, your AV, whatever's running on it. You've got your image of your server, let's say, and it backs up and the integrity of the offsite backup says it's 100%. It's perfect. And then the next day, Microsoft sends down Patch Tuesday on you. Now the whole soup's different. It tastes awful. It tastes awful, but you have no idea how bad it tastes. You're backing that up, that image up. The next day you have a failure. you try to restore that image that turns out tastes really bad because some update within either the AV or within the software won't let you restore it. But you tested the backup 2 days prior, and it worked perfectly, right? So testing is important. You should do it so you at least know, A, how long it takes to perform a restoration. How long will you be down? A, you should also test, too, your disaster recovery because so many companies are out there using these devices, these BDR devices, which it's so funny if you look at them. The BDR device, you've got this monster server right there. It's housing four virtuals, and it's this big piece of iron there running. And then their BDR is this little nook Intel, right? It's literally saying that this bus that's running, this coach bus is going to be the same as this bicycle to operate your business. And people don't even do the math and test this stuff and show them, hey, here's how long it's going to take. Here's how your system is going to run. And then not to mention try to operate in the cloud. Good luck with that if that is
Sorry, not going to work. I'm just going to say it right now. Conceptually, it's not going
to
work.
No, failing over to the cloud is an issue. Yeah, so yeah.
You can only restore to dial-up modem speeds when they've wiped out the rest of your infrastructure. Don't implement that on yourself and consider it a solution.
Well, that's exactly right. Or they have cellular failover, right? And they're wondering why their 50-person car dealership that used to be able to be running at lightning speed over their nice fiber cable service is running with two people on it. Well, we failed over to cellular. Okay.
Yeah.
You can't run it.
Enjoy the bill too.
Yeah. So people don't realize.
Problematic connections with a high bill. Man, God, that's got to sound like a great day at the office.
Right. So understanding what a disaster is, how to prepare, define your disaster, right? Some of it has nothing to do with IT at all. You know,
sure.
Define your disaster, define where you want IT to come in, and then define, okay, so we have this disaster. The problem that we also have is that we've got disasters we haven't thought of. COVID, right? COVID was a disaster that happened to everybody at the same time. I mean, everybody, right? We had to offload everybody to go work remotely. You know, it was like, was it 10 days to flatten a curve, and it lasted a year and a half?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, definitely.
All at the same time.
Everybody by storm. And it's good that, you know, for some companies that are SaaS-based services, you know, because everything or most of everything's in the cloud, all right.
Right.
You're good. But for those companies that, you know, relied on that in-house presence, that was, I mean, some of them didn't survive.
Some of them didn't. And even the SaaS-based ones, the elasticity wasn't really there yet. They weren't really prepared for that load. Although they did fine. It worked, right? Some of them were like, bending under that heavy load.
Yeah, definitely. Again, because the systems were there, but they weren't prepared for that. It was an afterthought. It became a bolt-on, you know, implementation.
Now, as far as, you know, we talk about backup and what you guys train over there in IT Pro TV, I know there's a bunch of courses where backup comes into play. Security Plus is one of them, and probably Network Plus. Any other areas that people will get more information about how to back up their system going through your courses?
Oh, definitely. You know, all the core foundations of the CompTIA A+, Net Plus, Security Plus will touch on it. But then as you get into more of the security mindset, it comes in too, because, you know, a lot of people, I'm being too broad here, but some people don't realize that backups are a part of security, part of the A and the CIA triad. So you touch on that in a lot of the aspects throughout, even going all the way up to the CISSP level too, and anywhere in between, CISA, if you will, Pentest Plus is another one. So a lot of the security-centric certifications are going to touch base on it and even show you from a business sense why it's important, not just a technology sense.
And the reason I bring this up, so Wes Bryan, they're IT Pro TV, and they'll help you learn about IT. And there's so many, we need more people in this industry. We desperately need these people. Unfortunately, there's people in the industry that have not been trained. Right. So you don't realize what you don't know because you just, you know, install the backup and walk away. No, you need to know how it works. So we selfishly want everybody in the IT industry here in Connecticut to get trained so that when we come across and pick up your account or what have you, the backup will be set up correctly. Right. Based on some basic standards that we all agree upon. So it's important for us as a industry to have trained IT people. In the old days, it used to be, oh, you want to be in IT? Yeah, I got a computer in my basement. Oh, okay, cool, come on. And, or you're in IT in the company because you have some extra knowledge. You know, the controller sees that you happen to like computers. that's all that's necessary for you to be an IT person. No, it's not. No. You need to get trained. So you can go to computertalkwithtab.com, and there's a link over there for 30% off to go ahead and get some training from these guys. They do a really great job. It's fun to work with them and take their courses. And I highly recommend it if you want to just learn more about IT or get trained up so that we're all on a more of the same page when it comes to how this stuff's supposed to be configured. So Wes does a good job. So Wes, you there?
Yes, sir.
No, it's the first time he's speechless. I want to thank you so much for joining us, talking about backups this morning, and we'll have you. We'll have you back again, maybe at the end of the month, or even in August as usual for our regular visit and talk about another topic. You game for that?
Oh, hey, I'm good at the end of the month and the other. Well, let's do both.
That sounds good, Wes. We'll set that up. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, gentlemen.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. The great Wes Bryan of IT Pro TV. Really worth checking out their courses. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And let's go to your calls. We're going to try Steve in Woodbury one more time. He's here. Are you there, Steve? Steve, you there? Oh, I think he's messing with us, Carolyn. No, he can't hear Steve at all. I'm sorry about that, Steve. I'm not sure why that is, but you might have phone issues along with computer issues because we can't hear you. So I'm sorry.
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
That helps.
He came alive.
There you are, Steve. We were starting to think, what's going on? You're messing with us. But what's going on? What can we do for you, Steve? Yeah, you there? You there, Steve?
Hello, Steve.
I don't know.
Hello?
Hello, Steve. Hello. We tried. I don't know what to tell you there, Carolyn. Yes, we can hear you. We're going to let Steve go because clearly there's an issue there. We're going to go to Kevin in Simsbury next. What's happening, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thanks for calling us.
All right. So, listen, I'm actually on the road, but I've spent probably 12 man hours on a Win10 system that I'm having an issue with. I'm not in front of it right now, so I realize that's a disadvantage. I'll give you what I've got and see if it rings a bell.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right. So I've got an older Lenovo all-in-one. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the model number. I almost want to say it's either a 5 or an 8 series.
Okay.
All right. I had no problems with it. It shipped with Windows 10 Home. Mm-hmm. Ran through it, no problem. The Windows updates were not an issue. However, there was a build update that came into play.
Yep.
And when that build update was processed and installed, I had an issue. If you picture moving your hand with your mouse, your cursor from left to right, I'm moving the mouse left to right, the cursor freezes, unfreezes, and jumps, freezes, unfreezes, and jumps. That is consistent. My troubleshooting steps, I've gone through. I've looked for drivers. I've looked at my processes that are operating behind the scenes. I've checked the Lenovo website, switched out my mouse. I'm not sure what the issue is. And like I said, I'm not right in front of the computer right now, and I know that puts you guys at a disadvantage.
Hmm.
But I was wondering if that was anything that went ahead and rung a bell with y'all.
Well, issues with Windows 10 updates sure does.
The specific thing where the mouse cursor leaps around and halts, I have not run into this.
Now, you said you changed the mouse. Was it wireless or wired?
Right now it's a wired one. There was a wireless before.
Oh, so either way. Right.
It's not even the format of the mouse.
No.
Okay.
It's definitely, and I've had it repeat. So I've gone through and reinstalled the OS, reinstalled 32-bit, reinstalled 64-bit, Home to Pro. It really appears to be that single Windows build update, the massive one they had on Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the number. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah.
It's that build update that held the problem.
Right. Well, obviously, we tell you to go back and roll back to the previous. Can you do that?
On the previous installations, I wasn't able to roll it back.
Okay.
So what I've got going at home right now while I'm out is reinstall. I got rid of the partition, so I'm trying to get rid of every incremental file that might be on the disk.
Wow.
It's running a reinstall. Hopefully it's Windows 10 Professional. I'll find out when I get home and throw the key in there.
Okay. So it's you're just starting from scratch. You already backed up your data just in case?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is an older machine, and I run off a mirrored server I've got at the house.
Okay.
So yep. All my data is separate.
We'll see what happens. It sounds like there's some incompatibility with that build in your hardware.
You could also remove all pointing mouses and pointing devices in Device Manager.
Yeah.
And then restart the computer. But you can't do that right now. So.
Right. So so it reconfigures them. Well, you've taken a sledgehammer to the problem. Let's see if it works.
Yep. Okay.
But nothing jogs our memory, and there's tons and tons of issues with Microsoft mice in Windows 10. If you Google that, you did probably saw thousands and thousands of hits.
Yeah, he saw millions of things.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And it's the problem with entering in a specific search sequence is you may not get back what you're looking for.
Exactly right, Kevin. We got to let you go, though. Okay, Kevin? Thank you for calling.
Understand. Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we are back. This is probably No BS Brass too, huh? Yeah. I think Carolyn now is in a No BS Brass fan. I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. However, four lines are wide open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And as we're waiting for your calls, we'll talk more about some of the technology issues that are out there. We did want to bring up the fact we had Tom from Harwinton call about his issue with his performance when he plugged in the RJ45 into a UPS. This also happens in the business world where your cloud-hosted voice over IP provider has provided you with phones that you now plug your computer into. And the problem is the phone only runs at 10/100 speeds. Mm-hmm. So your gigabit system that was now running at a high speed has been bottled down or bottlenecked by the phone that your phone guy provided. I mean, the phone guy, it's not his fault. He just doesn't know the difference, or she. And they provide you with a lower-end phone, and you're like, why is my internet speed so bad? Because your phone is 10/100.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. So as we wait for your calls, feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. I had a story here that is a Microsoft story. So Microsoft is rolling back default macro blocks in Office without telling anyone. So basically, Microsoft appears to roll back its decision to adopt a default stance of preventing macros sourced from the internet from running in Office unless given explicit permission. Now, they did this because a lot of the malware that's out there and the ransomware that's out there leverages the ability for the Office suite to have those programs run that way. And Microsoft way back said, hey, we're gonna not let this happen, and we're going to block macros from running on these applications. And now they've changed that. They've changed their mind and didn't even tell anybody, really.
Well, you know what? They had announced that they were going to put this block in quite a while ago.
Yes.
And they held off on actually implementing it for the reason that a lot of businesses are running on some of these macros. They're actually taking advantage of this
right
to operate things. And they needed to give those businesses a way to get set up for the change.
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, they've already gone through a lot of things to get it working.
Right. They had it.
And now, boom.
Yeah, they change it again. So this poor guy notes here, they've been scrambling to obtain a digital certificate for signing our VBA project since he first became aware of the impending update in mid-June. So they spent all this time and expense to get things work the way it was with the macros being blocked. Now they got to go ahead and scramble because now they're not going to be blocked, and they got to change that and change how they operate again. This is Microsoft, right? This is an issue. Guys, you can't just flip willy-nilly back and forth. Hey, we're going to do it. Hey, we're not going to do it. Another thing with Microsoft lately is even their NCE, their new commerce experience, they're ramming down everybody's throats. They said, you know what? That's not going so well. And they've delayed.
No, really? Yeah. You think?
And they've delayed the quote-unquote forced change that will still happen, where if you don't go with an annual subscription, you're looking at a 40% increase in your cost for Microsoft. So this is just another example. This is a security example where they softly and quietly said, we're going to go ahead and roll back that block on our end. We're not going to tell you anybody about it. And that's not how it's supposed to work, guys. We'll put a link up here to the story if you'd like to see it. But they really need to be a little, I don't know, more open about this type of stuff way, way in advance. What else you got there, Dennis, as a wait for calls?
Well, I've got a story about a data leak.
Yes.
It might conceivably be one of the biggest data leaks in history.
I've heard.
Yes. This is a leak of data on 1 billion Chinese citizens.
Yes. With a B.
With a B. Billion with a B.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened, well, a week ago, there was a hacker who announced that he had gotten hold of this data. And it turns out that it wasn't really the hacker that went and got it. It was leaked.
It was lost by accident? Oopsie.
Yeah, it was leaked.
So when you say leak, so the inside guy posted it somewhere?
No.
he had it on a hard drive and he left it in his car?
This was a police database.
Oh, boy.
That was allowed to be on a popular developer forum.
Gotcha.
And it just sat there and people could read it.
And somebody found it.
Somebody found it and it got all over the internet.
So it's one. So 1 billion. I noticed the article, but I didn't know what type of data it was. So is there a billion Chinese that get arrested all the time? Is that why it's on a police? I mean, it is a communist country.
Okay. You have to remember in China.
Yeah. Everybody's guilty.
Everyone is a suspect.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. So they start with that.
There you go.
So instead of getting it here, we get our social security number when we're born. And there, they're like, well, here's your police record.
We're going to start this right now. You have a law enforcement dossier out of the womb.
Gotcha. So that's what's going on here is that data.
Yeah. It was leaked. Mm-hmm. And it's enormous amount of data and pretty important stuff. But
yeah,
we just posted a database on a forum.
Yeah. 1 billion.
I don't even understand.
No. Anything else you got as we wait for calls?
Oh, speaking of law enforcement.
Yeah.
Apple has come out with something that they call lockdown mode for iPhones.
Yeah, I heard about
okay?
that.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, it's a mode that you can put the phone into or that Apple can that protects it from having hacking or spyware software run on it.
Nice.
Get it installed or if it's already there for it to be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just for, malware that you happen to pick up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The real goal of this mm-hmm. is to keep law enforcement agencies or other government bureaus
mm-hmm.
from running software such as Pegasus.
Yeah, they're a little salty about that.
Where they just kind of take over your phone right. just by being in the neighborhood of it.
Right, which where they were a little surprised to find that existed. And I think that was an Israeli company that came up with that.
And a lot of countries are using it. They're using it against dissidents, journalists, mm-hmm. Attorneys, activists.
Everyone who thought they had a nice, secure Apple phone found
out
they didn't.
And, to be fair, I mean, Apple made a fairly secure device.
Yep.
Okay? And it put it out there.
Yep.
And this company from Israel just figured out different exploits to get around the different security measures that are in it.
So now with lockdown
mode. Well, this is a lockdown mode that absolutely stops certain processes from happening under certain conditions. So that even if somebody gets Pegasus onto the phone,
it won't report out.
It won't report out, or its code won't even execute.
Good. But you got to remember to put it in that mode.
Right.
Right.
And I'm not entirely sure how you get it into that mode.
Okay.
It might be something you have to have enabled by your carrier or something. But either way, it's a very good protection for people that are looking
for more protection.
For more protection. And you got to give Apple credit for rolling it out as quickly as they did.
Very good. All right. Let's get to more of your calls here. We're going to go to Peter in Hamden next. Hey, Peter, what's up?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Hey, just I think it's a pretty rudimentary question, but I really don't know how to do it. I've sort of recently retired, and I had all my IT needs sort of taken care of where I worked. But now that I'm home, I'm doing a little bit of work on the side, and I'm using my personal laptop a lot more and creating documents and all kinds of things like that. But I have no idea how I go about backing up this computer and saving those documents so that they're somewhere that, some catastrophe should occur. I can still get at them. I've never backed up this laptop because it's my personal laptop. And to be honest with you, I never really had to use it. I was always using my, you know, my employer's IT hardware at home. And just curious about how do I go about doing that?
No, it's a great question. And it's a question that more folks need to think about these days, because eventually that laptop is going to fail on you. Mm-hmm. So you could do a sophisticated backup with software, built-in software to Microsoft's or what have you. But number one, you need a piece of medium or a couple pieces of medium that you're going to back up to. Or you can pay for an offsite service. Or you can use Microsoft 365's OneDrive, quote-unquote, as a backup. That's a way to think of it. If you're going to be using 365, your data can be synced from your local drive to your Microsoft drive. So there's many ways to go about this. But the simplest way is to pick up a couple pieces of media, whether they be encrypted thumb drives or external hard drives. Usually an A and a B we recommend minimally. And you go ahead and plug that little thumb drive or hard drive into your computer and just copy from wherever your data is located and paste it. It's that simple.
Okay, so basically then just, because I'm more just concerned with, you know, a bunch of Excel files and maybe Word documents and things like that.
Right.
So that's just get an encrypted thumb drive and or an external hard drive and just copy and paste.
Yeah, and the reason I say it that way is because some of the times when you try to actually go to restore your system, you don't even know how to use the software you use to do the backup, right?
Right.
And you're panicked, right? You're sitting there panicked. You've never done a restoration. Now you got to learn the software for the restoration. And if you just simply had a thumb drive with your data on it, readable, but encrypted, so it's at least safe, depending on what kind of data you have, you stick it into the next machine and just paste it back, and you're good.
Okay. So is it also reasonable then if, say I'm working, you know, doing something for a consulting client or something, and I come up with a bunch of spreadsheets that I did, not only just saving them on the laptop, but just plugging in the, you know, the encrypted thumb drive at the time I generate this document and just saving it there? At the same time, I could save it to the laptop and save it to the thumb drive and be done with it?
Kind of convoluted.
Yeah, that sounds like creating a little bit more work for yourself than maybe you need.
Yeah.
I think the better solution would be to just keep the data on that drive and work from that, and then periodically just copy it over to your encrypted thumb drive.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what you've got over there, I'm going to guess you're not going to create so much data that it's a big pain to copy. It's going to take minutes, right? So even if you do a full copy, like a full quote-unquote full backup like Wes was talking about, if you just did a full copy every time you did this, you're going to sweep whatever's on that drive.
Yep.
Or just take the directory, right-click, copy the whole directory over, and paste it, right? And you can even create different directories if you want, as far as trying to segment the data from what you might have changed versus others, if you want different copies of your data, right? Let's say you spend an hour on something and you realize, oh man, I really messed up that macro, and you want to go back to a different version of it. If you had different copies of those folders, then you could go back to a different version of it. So copying and pasting is just easy, right? But there is software out there that will run the backup for you, and you can configure it as an incremental, you can configure it as a differential, you can do a full backup, all the things Wes was talking about. But you need to know how to restore it when you need it.
Right, and that's another learning curve.
And it's awful when you have no idea and you've lost your data.
But if you've used File Copy to put the files onto that drive,
right,
then you already know how to use File Copy to take them off and restore them when you want.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think I could manage that. I mean, because I work off of thumb drives all the time. They're not encrypted. But, I mean, I copied. And there's a certain bunch of documents I just keep on thumb drives. I don't even keep them on the laptop. So I feel pretty safe with those. But I still even should have a copy of those somewhere.
Yes, you should.
Too.
And you can use this. You can use the computer as an intermediary. Copy it and copy it back, and then delete it.
You got time for another stupid question?
I let you go because Carolyn's making faces at me.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, thanks for that.
You're welcome, Peter. Talk to you later. Bye
bye.
We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Coming up at 11, Dr. Leslie will be in, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. And we're going to get to your calls and do as many as we can here before the top of the hour. We're going to go to Laura next in Middletown. What's happening, Laura?
Hi, Tab. Hi, Ken. My name is Laura Timmons. I use she, her pronouns. And the reason why I'm calling is I've been watching some YouTube videos on scamming the scammers of those telephone call agencies that it's really quite interesting the operation that they're doing.
Sure.
I guess the first thing is that, you know, they're trying to get into your system by remote again, and once they do, you go through your bank account, and they end up saying, we're going to transfer money into your account, but all they actually do is transfer from the savings to your checking and then modify the HTML code saying that, you know, we accidentally transferred instead of $400, $4,000.
Right.
And so they kind of take you to ask for gift cards and send you the gift cards.
Right.
And say, hey, you know, send us the gift card codes, which they then turn into Bitcoin.
Yep.
Which they eventually turn into cash. So it's a fairly sophisticated operation.
Right.
And so I just want to give a public service that, you know, if really don't let people window into your operating system. And
right.
You know, and that's kind of what I wanted to call you about.
Well, we appreciate that. I mean, we've had lots of calls from folks that have been taken advantage of similarly.
It's well worth warning people. I mean, I actually know someone who got a phone call.
Yep.
And he was convinced to allow somebody onto his computer. This happened mm-hmm. quite a few years ago, so yep. It's not the same scam.
Yep.
But it's similar thing. And he was, in his case, he was bilked out of several hundred dollars in order to, quote unquote, clean his computer.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. It became a treadmill where the scammers just kept calling him
right.
later.
My own mom got scammed by it.
Terrible.
And she knows I do this show and talk about this constantly. And she, even she got scammed by it and didn't call me. Microsoft called me, Eric. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, yeah, Laura, we appreciate you bringing this up to everybody.
Yeah,
thank you. It's a thing. And there's lots of scammers out there. And there's lots of very gullible people out there.
To be clear, Microsoft is not calling you.
Right.
They're not.
No. Hey. All right. Thanks for
taking my call. And I hope that it saves at least one person getting scammed.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Definitely.
All right, have a good one. All right. It's a good thing to remind people about because the scammers have nothing better to do. They have plenty of time. And for some reason, we are just a very open humanity. Just, okay, you want me to do what? Oh, I have a problem? Oh, you're going to help me? Okay. And for some reason, we just go with it. I don't know. Let's go to Jim in New Britain next. What's happening, Jim?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I've lost my internet connection for my iMac desktop. I was trying to upgrade my McAfee subscription, and now I don't have any internet at all for my desktop. I do have it connected, though, to my iMac Air iPad and MacBook Pro, but it's not there on my iMac. So okay. I went into, you know, system preferences. I go to Wi-Fi. It says on, but it's connected to a IP address that automatically connected to 169.254.9014. So
all right.
Looking for some advice.
All right. What happened is it's not actually connecting to a Wi-Fi network that's giving it an IP address. So it's the Wi-Fi adapter is granting itself this 169 address.
It's a loopback.
Right. And it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to get you anywhere. What you need to do is make sure that your Wi-Fi connection is to an actual Wi-Fi network that exists and is handing out IP addresses. Mm-hmm. You can usually do that on the Mac from the menu bar. There will be a little Wi-Fi symbol up there. You know, near the top right of your screen, you click on that and you should be able to drop down and see what Wi-Fi networks are available and you connect to a valid one. And if you've got another computer that it works with, go take a look at that computer, see which network that one's connected to, and then connect to the same one on the iMac.
Okay, so if I drop down, you know, I have one that's actually showing up. It's the one that's my other computer is connected to.
All right.
So I just click on that, but it's locked.
Yep. You got to put an.
So well,
you,
the lock just means that there's a password connected to it, or it might be called a security key. There might whatever the phrase is that's used.
Yeah,
that's what's required to be able to connect to it.
Is that your Wi-Fi, Jim, that you're connecting to, or are you connecting to a neighbor?
No, that's my Wi-Fi.
Okay. So whatever you put in for the SSID key, it's going to ask you for. So you should click on it and then be able to put the password in, and you're good.
That's, I can't imagine that that would be a problem unless you don't know the password.
Right.
No, I know the password.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Problem solved.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
You got it, Jim. All right. So hopefully we've helped him out. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. I want to thank Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV for joining us. If you want to join us as a geek or improve your skills as a geek, help us all out, go ahead and go to computertalkwithtab.com. 30% discount if you go through our link. Thank you, Mike G, for posting everything live. And Dennis?
We want you to be geeks, too.
See you next Saturday.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.